Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Oswald was no angel, that's clear. But who was he?
I'm lost, boss. What are we saying here?
We're saying that when Oswald went to Russia, he was not a real defector. That he was an intelligence agent on some kind of mission for our government and remained one until the day he died. That's what we're saying.
Therefore, because Oswald pulled the trigger, the intelligence community murdered their own commander-in-chief? Is that what you're saying?
I'll go you one better, Bill. Maybe Oswald didn't even pull the trigger. Nitrate tests indicate he hadn't even fired a rifle on November 22nd. And on top of that, they didn't even bother to see if the rifle had been fired that day.
He had his palm print on the weapon.
Well, it went to the FBI, Bill. FBI didn't find a goddamn thing. It comes back a week later, and one guy in the Dallas Police Department suddenly finds a palm print. For all we know, it could have been taken off Oswald in a morgue. There's no chain of evidence.
Yeah, I never could figure out why this guy orders a traceable weapon to this post office box when he can go into any store in Texas, give a phony name, and walk out with a rifle which can never be traced.
To frame him, obviously.
There's a lot of smoke there, but there's some fire.
We're talking about our government here.
No, we're talking about a crime, Bill, pure and simple. Y'all gotta start thinking on a different level, like the CIA does. Now, we're through the looking glass here, people. White is black, and black is white. Just maybe Oswald is exactly what he said he was. Apache.
So you want to talk about JFK, right?
Yeah, let's talk about the JFK assassination.
All right, go ahead, start it off.
Well, let me ask you, Robert, before you start. I get, because I didn't ask you before, you wanted to talk about this because you heard me and Conan before say maybe we were going to talk about it, and then it just stuck
with
you.
Yeah, and it's something I've kind of always studied in both in school and outside. I've read thousands of books, not to be too exaggerating, but read a lot of books about it. Kind of had my own opinion about it and kind of would like, to hammer out some thoughts on, we're never going to know what really happened. I think
at the end of the day also, after we talk, I think we'll even get a even better idea. Not maybe who was the person, because I refuse to believe there was one person behind this. It was too elaborate. There's too many things we're going to bring up now where you're going to see there's no way it could have been one person. This was a lot of powerful people working in tandem under the approval of LBJ. That's right. What I feel. Okay. So throw what you got to throw. Joe, throw what you got to throw, because I know you like him too. I was a big JFK fan, huge, huge fan. I can remember in elementary school reading about him, and I thought, wow, this guy's a fucking stud. He's good looking, hot wife, kind of a bachelor type guy. You know, he basically told Russia, he flexed on Russia real bad. Right. You know, we're going to bomb your ass. He put us on the moon. You know, he told the generals, and, you know, he was one of the very first guy that told the generals, hey, you guys may be wise and all that, but you're also full of shit. Yeah. And you're trying to say that things are happening that aren't happening. So this military industrial complex can keep going. Like, he came in with a whole bunch of young, bright minds, took out all the old people. Like, he was going to really make changes. You know what I'm saying? And he got stopped.
Remember,
you know, so I was a big JFK fan.
Some of those big long-term names and stuff that he got rid of early was Alan Dulles, who was running the CIA. And then there was, I think it was Charles Cabell. He was somewhere in the military and industrial complex. But his brother was the mayor of Dallas, Texas.
Dallas.
So, but I just want to say real quick, I got into it because the movie JFK came out. I was probably too young to watch it, but I saw it. You know, I saw it a million times. And,
what a great movie.
Yeah. And I got way into it from that. And I was a really voracious reader when I was young. So I was like this, you know, preteen, teenage kid reading assassination books. But my dad, you know, kind of fostered that. My grandfather would talk to me about it whenever I wanted because he had, you know, his own perspective on it. And so I did the same thing. I read a lot of books. I read the small edition of the Warren Report. I read some of the Committee on Assassinations from the 70s. And a lot of different books. I think actually one of the best ones I read was by Gerald Posner, and it was called Case Closed. And his position was that this is all malarkey and fucking Oswald did it, and here's why. So that gave a different perspective from reading all the conspiracy books. But
right, there's another one by Vincent Bugliosi. I guess that's how you pronounce the last name.
Yeah.
He subscribes to the single shooter theory, but I think he still makes a really compelling case for that. I don't think it was a single shooter like Conan. I think it was a conspiracy, the military industrial complex, you know, with maybe the CIA involved. So, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of stand out with the assassination and how like 103 people who were witnesses to the assassination died by mysterious means or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
right. And a lot of them heard shots from over their shoulder, which was towards the fence and the grass and all that.
Well, this is something funny that I was looking at right before I got on here. So this is a conversation between Jesse Ventura and Alex Jones. Okay. This is great. What Jesse says here, he goes, well, here's one interesting thing that you got, Alex, food for thought of common sense. Now, you've just had the murder of the president. Little while away, you have a murder of a police officer on the street. Remember that?
JD
Tippett.
Now, the only phone call made was that someone went into the movie theater and didn't buy a ticket. Now, if that happened in that sequence of order, the murder of the president, a half hour later, the murder of a police officer, and half hour later, somebody doesn't buy a ticket to go into a theater, how come nearly 20 cops and 8 or 9 squad cars arrived to arrest a guy who didn't buy a ticket to the theater?
They found him pretty quickly in the theater, too. They knew exactly where he was sitting.
What a great question. And then Alex Jones says, because Alex is from Texas, right? He goes, well, normally, especially in 1963, they would just send in the theater manager to throw you out or demand you buy a ticket.
Right.
Right. You know, and then Jesse says, well, not only that, but as a police dispatcher, you got the president murdered out there. You got a police officer shot dead on the street. You're going to dispatch 20 cops to a movie theater. Then Alex Jones goes, it was all staged. And then Jesse says, it was all staged. I believe that Oswald was supposed to die in the theater. Yes. And I think that's where the screw up came up. They were going to get him and kill him there for resisting arrest. And that way they do him in there. But something went afoul, I believe. And they had then to take him into custody. And then, of course, then they had to get Ruby to kill him. By the way, there's a phenomenal new book out on it, Alex. I don't know if you know about it. Have you heard of Judith Berry Baker? We'll get to her in a second because that was his girlfriend. But anybody want to say anything on what I just said? Because, bro, that right there tells you more than any other bullshit that you can read. You know, it's like that makes so much sense.
Yeah, and then a lot of it, too, is if you read through some of the transcripts, Oswald wasn't given a lot of his constitutional rights interrogation.
Yeah. Bro,
he wasn't given an attorney.
Yeah. Robert, he's saying it on TV. You could see it in his face. I'm a patsy.
Like, right.
You know, he knew he'd been tricked.
Yeah.
He knew he'd been duped, and he was going to take the fall.
But I wanted to – about the theater, I totally was going to say that, and that actually just snapped into place. I'm like, geez. They were supposed to kill him there and never have the Ruby connection happen. But one of the reports of Oswald in the theater was that he pulls his 38 if he did or not, I don't know. The 38 that supposedly shot the cop.
He did admit to that. Yeah, he admitted
to
that.
He pulled the gun, yeah. And another cop put his hand down, and the hammer snapped on the between his thumb. So Oswald tried to shoot a cop in there. They could have killed him. So for some reason, they didn't, you know. But and we'll get to it. But I think what's really interesting is if you go, okay, so Oswald was set up. He was brought in. How? Was he intelligence when he went to Russia? Was he intelligence when he came back and pretended to be anti-communism?
Well, that's why when this guy asked, you know who Judith Van, what's her name? What's her name again?
Was she the one that was the girlfriend of Sam Giancana and also JFK? No. Okay, that's another Judith. No.
Oh, Judith Very Baker. And we'll get to her in a second. But before we get to her, let me just say this. This is another thing because, you know, Jesse's been studying this for a long time, right? And so he goes, how come when there was a shooting, there was no yellow tape so you could do forensics? LBJ sent it to Ford to get refurbished. Okay, so now here's a part about the, you said that this Bugliosi or whatever his name is, you know, had this lone gun theory, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so bro, this right here blows everything out of the water. It says, so what Jesse Ventura is contending, that he was supposedly a marksman in the service, okay, because it was a UDT SEAL. He says you had to be an expert marksman for one guy to pull off what Oswald did, okay? He goes, Oswald was a radar guy. He wasn't in infantry. And so they got this guy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Robert. He's an expert shooter called Carlos Hathcock.
Yep.
What a tremendous name.
Yep.
Okay? So let me tell you about this guy. Have you heard of him, Joe?
I didn't know him by that name, but I knew they tried to recreate it with a lot of guys.
Okay, so listen to this for the people that are going to be listening to this show. Carlos Hathcock was a retired gunnery sergeant, okay? A former senior instructor of the U.S. Marine Corps Sniper Instruction School at Quantico, Virginia. So you know you got to be badass to be leading that shit, all right? Okay, he has been described as the most famous American military sniper in history. In Vietnam, he was credited with 93 confirmed kills. Okay, the People's Army of North Vietnam had placed a bounty of $30,000 on Hathcock's life for killing so many of their men. Usually rewards put on U.S. snipers typically range from $8 to $2,000, but they had $30,000 on this guy. Okay, listen to this. You'll love this guy. One of Hathcock's most famous accomplishments was shooting an enemy sniper through the enemy's own rifle scope, hitting him in the eye and killing him. How fucking badass is that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then another thing, he had gotten this female Viet Cong platoon leader called the Apache Woman with a reputation for torturing U.S. Marines. He killed her. Okay. And then one of the other things, during a volunteer mission days before the end of his first deployment, he crawled over 1,500 yards of field to shoot a North Vietnamese general, okay? Now, and I imagine that, just crawling for 1,500 yards over, you know, and this took 4 days and three nights without sleep of constant inch-by-inch crawling until he killed this general. So this motherfucker is the badass of all the badasses. Are we like
– Oh, yeah.
Are we in agreement?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? Okay. This is what he said. He goes, let me tell you what we did at Quantico. Okay. So that's like, you know, the Marine base. We reconstructed the whole JFK, you know, shooting, the angle, the range, the moving target, the time limit, the obstacles, everything. I don't know how many times we tried, but we couldn't duplicate it with what the Warren Commission said Oswald did.
Yeah. One rifle. Yeah, three or four shots.
This is the baddest sniper in history, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they said there were, what, three shots within 5 seconds? And
right, and then we went this way, and then this way, and it came out through here, right.
Yeah, and the FBI couldn't – their best shooters couldn't even match the precision that Oswald had. So it's – you know, I mean, obviously none of us grew up during that time. We weren't around when it originally happened, and they didn't have the Zapruder film before that, you know, before to like what, 1970-ish or something like that.
Something like that.
So the Zapruder film is definitely the red herring. It shows that, you know, that there was a frontal shot.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, your eyes.
Well, I wouldn't say that was a red herring, because red herrings like kind of like deceive people. You know what I'm saying? That's the proof.
Yeah. The thing that always, and it's like, not only is the government and the report lying to you, but they're also asking you to ignore like physics and it, like just common sense. because especially that second shot, the second shot supposedly went through Kennedy's back, out his neck, and then through Connolly four times. Not only
and into his wrist, yeah,
and into his wrist, and then just fell out like a regular bullet, no damage to it. But not only that, he shot through the tree, that giant oak tree that was right there. This bullet went perfectly through the tree and did exactly what he wanted to do: hit the guy and then hit the guy in front of him. Like, that's some fucking luck right there, you know. So
right.
If you ever shot a rifle or tried to shoot through shit or whatever with shit in your way, like, and you're not a marksman, because if he was a Marine, he passed his basic shooting, you know, exams, tests, whatever he has to do, but he wasn't a marksman. Like Conan said, he was a radar operator.
Right.
So basically this girl, Judith Baker, that Jesse Ventura is talking about, Judith Baker, she had met Oswald in New Orleans, and I guess she was going through some shit in her marriage, and so was Oswald, and they were like hooking up, okay? And she was some sort of like research scientist, and Oswald was working there because they were trying to make some sort of like biological weapon. This was all under the CIA. You know, they were behind it, but they also had like plausible deniability. Like if they got caught, there were no, you know, nobody was good. You weren't going to be able to trace it back to the CIA. You know, that's why Oswald's so hard, because I think they on purpose made sure that they never named his handler. He did have one. They never named his handler. Everything was like, you know what I'm saying? Nothing was written down where you could have a paper trail.
And it was convenient that he was a communist, that they found all this communist, you know, literature on him.
But she says, this lady says, as you're going to hear in a minute. So basically they were trying to make some, they were basically trying to get rid of Castro. They were going to have him go to Cuba and bring this biological thing that they were doing in New Orleans. And I don't know if it was supposed to explode or if it was, I don't know exactly what it was supposed to do, but he was supposed to take it to Cuba. Something happened where he couldn't take it to Cuba, and then he had to send it to somebody in Mexico. But the bottom line is that this lady who's saying that she was his ex-girlfriend, let me see if I can find this because I wanted to make sure I read this correctly. This is what this lady's saying. Obviously, she could be full of shit, but there's been, from everything I've read, she seems to be a credible witness. Okay, because she's been able to prove, for example, that she knew Guy Bannister and Jack Ruby and people like that. So, but anyways, so this is the, it says Judith and Oswald planned to divorce and marry in Mexico after he had done all he could to thwart the plans of an assassination ring in which he volunteered to investigate. He believed he would have the help of the CIA to escape after providing information. But instead, due to his pro-Castro activities in New Orleans, which had been under the handling of Guy Bannister, in order to identify pro-Castroites in New Orleans, Oswald became the perfect patsy, even though he was on record as having admired John F. Kennedy. Okay.
Right.
So this is what his girlfriend says, that Oswald could only speculate who organized a conspiracy. And obviously, they're not going to tell him. He was a lower level guy. Right. But he thought that he said that he was aware that the mafia, Texas oil moguls, and conservative racists put up money to finance an assassination ring that seemed to include a wide variety of planners and participants. So, you know, even he's saying that he says that he expressed opinions that Carlos Marcello, the godfather of New Orleans and Dallas, and his mafia friends in Chicago and Miami, along with anti-Castroites and elements of the Secret Service and CIA, were able to assassinate Kennedy. So many people are implicated. And imagine probably the government is like, all right, let's make them think the mafia did it. Let's make them think Castro did it. Let's make them think the Cubans who are pissed because he left them to die in Bay of Pigs did it. That's it. So you don't really, those are the real red herrings, because what they've done is they've made you, instead of focusing on one thing, they've divided your attention in so many places that you can't figure out who it is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and don't forget Russia, because Oswald went to live in Russia from 61 to like 62. And when he was there, they took care of him because they didn't know what he could offer or what he was worth, just that he had defected and used to be in the military.
And another thing they said was I think he was deported from the United States, wasn't he?
No, he defected.
He defected, and they still let him come back with no problem. And they were like,
even after he renounced his U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, right. With a wife. He got to bring back a Russian national with him.
Right. How did that happen?
Because
it had to be facilitated by somebody at the state level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was being used all along. Somewhere along the line, they said, all right, when we assassinate, let's put the heat on him.
Mm-hmm. Because he had
while he was working for them, unknowingly knowing that, you know, what they were going to do to him.
Yeah. And I always wondered, because, you know, you think military industrial, CIA, Texas oil men, you know, the anti-Castro folks had a reason to hate Kennedy because he didn't do what he was supposed to do with Bay of Pigs and all that. But the mafia always takes, not credit, but there's guys in the mafia that say, hey, what do you call it? Marcello took credit. Trafficante from Florida took credit. Giancana from Chicago took credit. These guys were all involved in it. And I always thought, like, I didn't know if I bought it, if it was like just puffing their chests out or whatever, but there's many theories that those guys either hired the guns or delivered the guns or whatever, you know. So I don't know what their involvement was, but they had a reason to hate him too, because the mafia's involvement in getting him elected in the first place, and then he comes right after them, or RFK comes after them and goes after the Teamster.
Bro, it wouldn't be a far-fetched to think that somebody pieced together, they had pissed off all these people and he brought them all together. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And let me tell you another thing that a lot of people maybe haven't even thought about. And this is something that I think has a lot of plausibility. JFK and his family were very hostile to the Federal Reserve, okay? And he had already started proceedings to dismantle it. He had actually passed executive orders dismantling the Federal Reserve system, all right? And basically, you know, what the Federal Reserve system does, they're the ones that print money, right? And you know, they were printing all this money so we could go to war. Nobody could control them. And that, to me, they might have had something to do with that, too, the mm-hmm. Rothschilds.
Yeah, I mean, I we talk about Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. I want to be, you know, I don't think it'd be too far-fetched to say that maybe these were all tied in together, you know, especially, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, civil rights coming out, you know, those conservative racists that you mentioned, you know, weren't too keen on that. And then, you know, the Kennedys were all about kind of that moving toward a new form of progressivism where, you know, we're including rights for African-Americans at that time. So, I mean, it's just so many things that could possibly happen. But, you know, that single shooter theory is just the thing. I don't think it did happen. You know, I mean, you know, it's so obvious.
And another piece of the pie could be the fact that Kennedy didn't want to go into Vietnam.
Right.
So you get Kennedy out of the way. Lyndon Johnson was like, I don't give a fuck. Let's do it, you know. And Nixon, who was down the line, of course, was all about going there and Cambodia and everything else. But that was one of the main things. Military-industrial complex wanted to go to Vietnam because it was worth so much money to build all these helicopters. And, oh, these helicopters were destroyed. We got to build more helicopters and all that, ammunition, whatever. And Kennedy didn't want to do it. He didn't see any reason to go over there, and he wasn't gonna.
Bro, I'm telling you. I'm telling you that not only did he want to get out of Vietnam, and that pissed off a lot of people, but him wanting to control the feds. Let me tell you, bro, the Rothschilds, they've been in the business of controlling central banks for a long, long time, and starting and financing both sides of almost every major war since the British won at Waterloo. And that, I'm telling you, bro, check that out. All right. And so, you know, let me tell you something that one of their guys said one day, Mayor Amschel Bauer Rothschild. Listen to this. Give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes its laws.
Hmm. Yeah.
And who controls the money here in our country? Military industrial complex.
Right. And the feds.
Yeah. And the feds.
So I said this on our last podcast and it's worth repeating. You look throughout history and it's the same thing. Even now, every country and before, to create a world system of financial control in private hands, to be able to dominate the political, basically the rich, what they do is they create a world system of financial control in the hands of a couple rich guys, right? Let's say the 10 richest guys in America, right? That way they're able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy as a whole. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how it happens. And so the feds, he was going to take all that power away from them. Bro, when the United States was founding, the founding fathers wanted the country to avoid the influence of international bankers by ensuring that only Congress could be allowed to print money. But somewhere along the way, the feds ended up doing it, you know, and he was going to shut them down, bro.
One of the interesting things that came up was, you know, a lot of Oliver Stone's movie JFK is, you know how he makes movies. Like, he throws things in that either didn't belong or were from something else, or he turns four characters into one. A lot of that movie's not real. It just isn't. But one of the things that is real is the character of Jim Garrison, who put Clay Shaw on trial. That really happened.
Right.
He really found out about guys like Shaw or Guy Bannister that you mentioned, or Dave Ferry, and some of the things he saw Oswald. He had witnesses that saw Oswald and Ruby together. He had witnesses that saw Oswald and Shaw together. Things like that. So that's one of the things I remember talking about with my grandfather when I was younger. That, you know, and he always told me it's the same thing that we've talked about on here, Conan. That when a guy like Jim Garrison comes up and he's challenging the status quo and he's going after this, they're trying to force this lone shooter down everyone's throat, and Jim Garrison's going, no, 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 I think this, and they discredited him. They discredited him, and they said he was a, you know, a crooked DA, and that he drugged witnesses and all this shit, and they made him look like shit. But, I mean, to this day, there's a big argument over that, whether or not the guy really had a case, and he was a real, you know, truth seeker, or if he was just looking for publicity, and he was kind of dirty. You know, there's people that fall in both camps.
And he was one of the ones that originally subpoenaed the Zapruder film. So the Zapruder film came to light because of Jim Garrison. Time Life had it under lock and key, and then he subpoenaed it during the court case. So that's when the public first got to see it.
Can you imagine that they forced this story on people, and of course people are going to go, oh, I guess that's what happened, because they never saw the film. They never saw the film.
Bro, I'm going to tell you, just from what we've talked right in this little moment right now, I'm going to repeat what I think. No way it was Oswald or him alone, okay? This was the military-industrial complex with a feature. You'll like that one, Robert, like if it was a rapper or something.
Yeah.
With a feature from the Rothschilds and approved by LBJ. That's my last statement.
Yeah,
I don't think that's too far off either. And, you know, on top of that, too, they never investigated the three hobos that we always hear about.
Yeah, and the train.
Yeah, that might have been, you know, CIA marksmen or FBI marksmen.
Right.
You know, so you know, there's allegations that Woody Harrelson's dad was one of them.
Yeah, Charles
that he
Harrison.
Was involved. Yeah. So Ted Cruz's dad also. I don't know how much.
Yeah, but a lot of that. Yeah, they also say George Bush was there.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, bro. Yeah. I like I said before, between red herrings, which is shit to use to make people, you know, get off track, right? Between red herrings, misinformation, disinformation, you know, misdirection, fault, that's all being done on purpose. So you can never pinpoint what happened. You know what I'm saying? And we may not know until everybody that had anything to do with it is probably dead.
And one thing to talk about before we close is that, you know, just a couple of years ago, they finally released all these documents that were supposed to tell us something or lead the people somewhere that have been so invested in this and reading every, you know, document they could for years, books, whatever, researchers. And we didn't find out shit. All we ever got really was...
Because you know why, bro? Yeah. Because if people were able to read how much the government knew or they were involved or how much they covered it up, the fucking country would go nuts.
Yeah.
They would fucking go nuts. And that's why they're not going to do it, because they don't want you to see how crooked our own fucking government is, as if we don't know. But, you know, it isn't the same as knowing and thinking and being shown. You know, when people really see what pieces of shit, you know, it's very sad, bro, because I think that was a guy who was really going to change our country for the better. But, you know.
And then you think about it, too. If you look at our history, you know, coming out of World War II, going into Korea, that period after Korea up until November 22nd, 1963, it was relatively peaceful. We didn't have anything going on. And then
everything in this country was going great, bro. Everybody wanted to be like us. We were the model for the whole world.
Yeah.
And then that's where we really, really started to see kind of the upheaval in the American government, the protesting because of the Vietnam War. You know, I did take a look at the trial of Chicago 7 the other day. Right. It's on Netflix. If you guys, you know, that is a really, really well-made movie if you get a chance to watch it.
Is that
that kind of reflects on the Vietnam.
Is that
that's Abby Hoffman. Bobby Steele.
Yeah.
They were really smart fucking young fucking students. You know what I'm saying?
Jerry
Rubin.
Yeah.
Didn't he turn out to be a really rich guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting hit by a car.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He was walking across the street and he got hit by a car, which, you know,
that's weird.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Kind of like all those Kennedy people that all of a sudden turned up dead.
Yeah.
Right.
And all different ways, too.
Yeah. But if you had asked me, I agree with what Conan says. I mean, you know, obviously it was a conspiracy. It doesn't take a genius to know that, you know, there was more than one shooter. But then again, like we mentioned at the beginning, we're never going to know.
Bro, like I said, but that's why I keep saying that I think the banking has a lot to do with it. Listen to this quote I just found. This is from Thomas Jefferson to John Adams, not only two presidents, but two founding fathers. Okay. When the United States was formed, those who controlled the European and central banks wanted to establish a presence in the United States. And Thomas Jefferson wrote to John Adams, I sincerely believe with you that the banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies. Mm. So, yeah. So the people were mad because we were going to Vietnam because they didn't understand why we were there. And they had every reason to say that. What they didn't understand is all these people were getting paid.
Right. How prophetic was that statement, dude? That,
yeah.
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 So I'm telling you that though the bankers are the quiet ones, but they're the ones stirring the pot. They're the ones financing everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's similar to 9/11, where you can tell me whatever you want or who was behind it or whatever, how it happened, but people always just look at the science. Could a plane crash into a building have made the building fall like that? You know, most people would say no. Just like Oswald couldn't do the shots. The story you're telling us is impossible. He couldn't do it three shots in six, seven seconds with that precision through a tree on a moving car. You know, it's just not possible. So.
And why did Ruby kill him? Ruby was connected. So,
And here's the thing. All those guys that are doing these things, which to me are crimes against society and against humanity and against – they're the ones that should be in jail, because if you would let a foreign nation or even our own people crash planes and kill people and you know, just so you could profit off war, bro, all those motherfuckers should be hung for being traitors. Exactly. Fucking traitors.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Well, we got to move on to the next Patreon segment, Robert. What is there anything you want to close with or ask?
No, I'm just glad you guys. I had a student one time ask me how I felt when the Kennedy assassination happened. I was like, "Motherfucker, I wasn't even born yet." So, yeah. I'm glad nobody asked me that. So,
yeah,
but I was, I was very young, and I always read about him, and I always thought he, it's almost like when you look at Obama. I remember when Obama became president, I actually cried because I was like, fuck, finally this fucking racist country, obviously not everybody is, has grown up and they've accepted that a black man can lead this country, And bro, he didn't do shit. He didn't do shit. Because when you get in there, you find out you don't really run this country. Somebody else else's does.
Yeah.
And remember, there were a lot of concerns with Kennedy being a Catholic too.
Yeah.
Taking directions from the Vatican, following the catechism and stuff like that. So,
but I think that's another layer of herring thrown out there.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
He's still the only one that's ever been in there, Catholic president.
Unless something happens on Tuesday.
Oh, is Biden's
Catholic? Biden's a practicing Catholic. Mm, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think religion's a work. But,
yeah. And being Catholic doesn't pull the same kind of weight that it did in 19th year.
Nah,
either.
Right. No. Right. Right. Yeah. Nobody gives a fuck about that anymore.
Yeah.
But, obviously we didn't answer any questions we didn't already know, but I think we shared information, and I think we all agree on one thing. This couldn't have been the work of one guy like him.
Right.
And I truly believe he was used and didn't even know it until they arrested him.
Right.
I was going to say, the thing about it is that makes it so interesting to people and multifaceted is, you could read a book about the whole assassination, overlooking at it, or you could read a book specifically about Oswald. Who was this guy? Or Ruby? Or what was the mafia in the 60s? If you can look at it from so many angles. Who are these guys that were supposed to help with the Bay of Pigs and backed out from the CIA? Let's read about them. Howard Hunt and the other fucking guy's name? I can't remember. But there's so many angles to read about and research, because there's so many things involved that it's like never-ending amounts of reading and research and all that.
But I just think a lot of that has also been promulgated by the people that are trying to cover this up. The more shit that you have to research and look and think – you keep your eye off who the real person is. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I said, I think military industrial complex with a feature by Rothschild and produced by Suge Johnson, Suge Baines Johnson.
And two, you mentioned E. Howard Hunt. He on his deathbed admitted, you take it for what
they're saying. He was very weak and that,
But what did he say? He was a shooter or he knew about it?
No, he just said it was a government conspiracy.
Yeah. I think his son recorded, but he's
he was out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
When you're medicated, Joe, but there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's how he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was actually something wrong with him.
Right.
All
right, Robert, I hope you enjoyed this, and take a piece of this, Joe, whatever you think you know, a good little piece and put it on Patreon so you can incite people to come and listen to it here. Yeah, I think it was a good conversation.
Yep, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, guys, have a good rest of your Halloween.
All right.
Hey, Kona, did you get a lot of kids?
Bro, I use the oldest trick in the book. I put a fucking thing outside of my door, right? And I put a little smiley face and I put, please take one. And when people come, there's nothing, which makes you think somebody took them all. So
there you go.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, have a good rest of your evening. I'll talk to you.
All right.
Yeah, be cool. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming on.
All right, guys. Later.